So we can relax our body and mind by finding an upright and comfortable position. And take a couple of deep breaths, sinking into this place here. Becoming aware of these wonderful conditions we find ourselves in, sitting in this gompa, on this mountain here. Working in our mind, how incredible, how fortunate. And with this we can simply release our awareness into our body. For some time just become aware of whatever happens in this field of the body. For some time simply staying with this basic knowing. This very plain naked experience of being here in our body and settling in. Finding this stable balance between mental relaxation, simultaneously being aware and alert, creating this non-conceptual, attentive state for ourselves. And then out of this presence we can work with the thought that when we learn about our own minds, we automatically learn about the minds of others. When we understand our own mind, how it operates, we understand much more how the minds of others operate. When we learn how to truly be of benefit to ourselves, we will know how to truly be of benefit to others. Knowing our own delusions and afflictions, how they arise in the mind, we also know how they arise in the minds of others. Because you know the basic nature of the mind and the mind of others, our minds and other minds, is the same. It doesn't mean we have the same mind. We have individual mind streams. But the basic nature, the way it experiences phenomena, the way things arise in the mind, is the same for every being. In this way, working on ourselves, developing our own mind, is automatically working for others with the right motivation. If we are aware of this, then, and have the pure motivation, then this is the main reason why we do it. Then our meditation gets powerful. It gets limitless, infinitely beneficial, because it includes every being. So we begin our evening practice in the framework of these intentions. And in the first half, we want to again reflect on a few of these prayers for meditation, settling our mind in a pure state of bodhicitta. And then in the second half, we're going to do a meditation on equanimity. So you can, for some more time, connect with your breathing. Until I lead you into the few verses of these. You can just reflect on them, mix your mind with them, try to grasp their significant meaning, merging your mind with this meaning. This precious life of leisure and opportunity is rare and easily lost. The world and those within it are impermanent. I too will die soon. The results of my virtuous and non-virtuous actions will without fail ripen within me. And since there is no genuine happiness to be found within the abodes of samsara, I must correctly practice the true Dharma. On the basis of these four thoughts, you can, in your own personal way, reflect on the next verse of going for refuge and generating bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Through my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. Through this, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the happiness that knows no suffering. May they dwell in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion to those near or far. And then, while remaining in this state of mind, you can silently change your position if you need to for a few moments. So when we reflect on these four immeasurables, generating the motivation of really wanting them to be happy and free of suffering, dedicating our spiritual practice for others, wanting to become enlightened for others, then we first have to develop the attitude that sees every being as equal. This is the basis. And why is every being equal? Because every sentient being, besides just wanting to be happy and it doesn't want to suffer, every sentient being has a mind. Regardless of being an animal, an insect or a bird, a tiger, whatever, regardless of being a human or any other being that we cannot see with our eyes, every single sentient being is the holder of a mind stream, is a mind possessor. Every being. And that in turn means that every being that has a mind likewise has the potential to develop this mind to its fullest potential. That is what we call Buddha nature. Every being having a mind has the possibility to become a Buddha. There is not one living being in this world, in this universe, that does not have this potential to fully awaken. It's so important to understand this, to see that. It is just that different actions that beings performed throughout their beginningless lifetimes propelled them into different form of existences that they now have to experience. We all have to experience the karma that we have created until the present karma is exhausted and a new karma ripens, which again can change everything. We just have the karma to be human, to have a precious human life. That's all. It's not going to last. So the foundation is to develop a mind of equanimity towards other beings. And the practice to start with this is trying to free our mind from attachment to friends or relatives, from aversion to people we disagree with, and indifference to people we do not know. So we can begin this basic equanimity practice. And I invite you to visualize three people in the space in front of you. One is somebody that you like to be with, someone that you care about very much. Maybe even feel some attachment towards. Think of a specific person. One is someone you find disagreeable and feel some sense of aversion towards. And one is someone you do not know, someone you do not care about, you feel indifferent towards. Choose a particular person. And as you have visualized these three people in front of you, go back to the first person, the one that you hold dear to you, and simply ask yourself the question, why am I attached to this person? Why do I hold this person dear? And without judging your answers, simply listen what your mind tells you. And then bring your awareness to the difficult person, the one you find disagreeable, and again, just ask yourself, why do I have so much anger and aversion towards this person? What is it that makes this person so disagreeable to me? And again, just let your mind respond. And finally, bringing our attention to the stranger, the one we don't know. And you again ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel so indifferent about this person? Listening to the answer your mind gives you. And then we can look back at the three answers that we received from our mind. And then we will very easily come to the conclusion that all these discriminations were made in terms of me. If people are nice to me, love me, support me and comfort me, have the same interest than I do, if I can trust them, then I consider them good people and develop a sense of closeness or maybe even attachment towards them. If somebody interferes with my happiness, judges or criticizes me, takes away what belongs to me, talks behind my back, then I consider this person a bad person, someone I don't like, develop anger towards this person, hold this person distant. Like an enemy. And if I happen to have no relationship with someone, then because they don't play a role in my life, they don't affect me, I don't really care about them. Feeling indifferent since this person has nothing to do with me, isn't it? So, after this contemplation, it's very plain to see that these three categories of friend, disagreeable person, and stranger are a creation of our own mind. Even if we think we see people as they are, by filtering everything how it relates to me, the way they seem to appear to me, in actual fact, we are seeing them totally subjectively. It is totally our own creation what we see. If somebody shows their bad quality to me, I consider this person someone I don't like. But if this same person shows this bad quality to someone else that I also don't like, then I think this person's actually quite okay. Isn't it? So get a feeling, an experience of how we are not really seeing the person, but how our mind creates the friend, creates the enemy, creates the stranger, and how our emotions of attachment, aversion, and indifference are not coming from the person, but are a creation of our own mind. So try to develop a sense of equanimity towards all three of them. Try to open your heart towards them and see that they are all longing for the same thing. They want to be satisfied and happy, and they don't want to be dissatisfied and unhappy, not even for a second. Exactly like ourselves. So for a few more moments, try to drop your labeling, your categorization, and see them for what they really are. Then we can conclude how important it is to train our mind in seeing this, in seeing beings as equal, to see the world also through their eyes, trying to imagine how it is to be in their shoes, getting a better understanding of how others perceive things. May this meditation plant the seed in our mind that we are able to do this, that we are more able to see reality and not seeing the world through our own self-centered, confused mind. But instead, develop a more compassionate, equanimous attitude towards others. And if you wish, you can dedicate your positive energy to these three people, dedicating it first to them and then slowly expanding to include each and every living being in this world and this universe, having done the practice for them to become a fully awakened being to benefit them, for them.